Okay, today I'd like to title this year the epilogue to the Decalogue, because it sounds cute. But it's really the epilogue to Aseris Adipros. Because we have the focal central aspect of this parsha is the revelation at Sinai, the Aseris Adipros. There's a lot of discussion on that. But today I want to focus on the section following the Aseris Adipros. At the end of the parsha, in Perek Chaf, the Torah tells us, "V'yomer Hashem Moshe, Kol somar el Bnei Yisrael." This is what you should say to the Bnei Yisrael. And Tevor Isim, Ki min Hashemayim dibarti bachem. You have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven. Okay. Lo tasuni ti. Don't make with me Elohei Chesef ve'Elohei Zahav lo su lachem. Gods or statues of silver and gold. Don't make for yourself. Mizbeach adamah ta'aseh, make for me altars of dirt, of earth. And you will slaughter on it your burnt offerings, your peace offerings, your sheep, your cattle. Every place where I mention my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make for me an altar of stones, lo simnes hen gazis, don't make them hewn stones, don't carve them out. Because you are using, you're carving them out with of the sword, and you will profane it. And also, don't make steps on my mizbeach so that your nakedness should not be revealed, and therefore they're supposed to make a ramp instead. Okay, so this is the ending of the Aseret HaDibros, and I want to ask the following questions. Number one is, why are these mitzvos specifically placed here after the Aseret HaDibros? We think if we take a casual study of, Sefer Shmos and what's Yisrael about, the Aseret HaDibros. What are the next mitzvos that are commanded after Aseret HaDibros? Ve'ela HaMishpatim. That's next week's parsha. And yet we have this few psukim here, a couple of seemingly random halachos, random mitzvos that we find at the end of this week's parsha after Aseret HaDibros. What are they doing here? Now, and that's sort of one question. I also want to know what's the connection between the introduction of this section and the mitzvos. The introduction in Pasuk Yutes is Kosomar b'nei Yisrael temer isim ki min Hashem dibarti b'chem. Hashem says before saying, don't make statues of silver and gold. And he initially says, you should know, or you've seen that I spoke to you from heaven. Okay, what is that introduction? How is that introduction relevant to the mitzvos at the end of Parshas Yisro? And then I have some questions about the specific mitzvos here. I'll just ask a few of them. So Pasuk Chav says, "Lo sasuni ti elohei chesef v'elohei zahav lo su lachem." Don't make idols, silver and golden idols. Now, remember, earlier in the Parsha, there are 10 dibros, and the second one is no avodah zarah. So why isn't this pasuk of lo sasu iti el hei chesed ve hei zahav lo sulahem, of making these gods of silver and gold, these statues, these idols of silver and gold, why is this placed here and not during the Aseret Bnei Teshuva and the second commandment, the second dibra? And my final question is, what's this term of mizbeach adamah tasli, make for me an altar of dirt? So Rashi has two explanations. He's bothered by this language. He says, one explanation is mechubar ba'adamah, should be connected to the ground. Shelo yivnu al gabi amudim or al gabi kipim, you shouldn't be built on top of pillars. Or davar acher shehayim chalam mizbeach adamah, maybe it means you should fill the inside of the copper mizbeach with dirt. It's very strange that it uses the term mizbach adamah. So, like, whatever it means, connected to the ground, it's not evident. So, what's this phrase of mizbach adamah? I'm trying to understand, why is it called a Mizbach Adama? Why aren't we a little more precise? Whatever it's trying to intuit. So I'm curious, what any thoughts on any thoughts on any of my question? Any thoughts? I'm just going to mute everyone. There's some noise in the background, but unmute yourself if you have any thoughts. Any thoughts on my questions? Why is this section doing here? Why isn't the prohibition of Elohei Chesef, Elohei Zahav, why isn't that recorded in the second of the ten Dibros? Why is it mentioned here? Any thoughts? Okay. So, in order to answer this question, or these questions, I want to...
Alan? Yeah. I mean, at the beginning it says that Hashem tells Bnei Israel that they saw speech, that Bnei Shemayim debarking.
Right.
They didn't see an image, and then follows it up. They say, don't make for me any gods of silver and gold, because you didn't see anything there. You know, you just saw speech.
Right, you saw speech, so don't make golden idols, but make...
Don't think that there's, you know, a divorce to God, that you should try to make a golden idol, because you didn't see anything.
Right, but rather you should make an altar of dirt.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, you know, that's like a very low-level thing.
Well, so what's the image? Okay, you're right. I think Adama is low level, and therefore what? What's the message that God is conveying?
I mean, initially it says, you know, person, Adam, you know, it's the same. This is like, it's like the foundation of the earth. Just use that, or natural stuff.
Why do we want to use natural stuff?
I don't have a good answer.
Okay, so we're gonna work on that, Alan. I'm gonna work on that. I'm gonna work on that a little bit. And so let's talk about the mental state of the Bnei Israel following Mamad Har Sinai, following the revelation. Like, what was their mental state? Are they feeling happy, scared, sad, upset? What do you think? How do you think they're feeling after Mamad Har Sinai? So, right, the Torah tells us, actually. Well, the Torah tells us a little bit. So immediately after the Seres HaDibros, in Perichav, Pesukim Tesvam Tudches, Torah tells us, V'chol Ab Roi V'sakolos V'halapidiv Kol Shofar V'sahar HaShed. So they see all this, they see the sound. That's an interesting question, what does that mean? Okay, it's not our topic. They see the Lapidim, the flames, the sound of the Shofar, the mountain erupting in smoke. People see it, they're shaking from it, and they're standing from afar. They tell Moshe, we want you to speak to us, and we don't want God to speak to us lest we die. Now, there's a big question as to when they said this. Before Mamad Har Sinai, during, or after. But it seems that this was their mental state, I guess, I would think on one level, their mental state is certainly one of fear, and that's clearly evidence in the Torah. They're afraid. It was a very scary experience. And Moshe tells them, don't be afraid. Al tiral, don't be afraid, it'll be okay. But certainly, the Bnei Yisrael are feeling a sense of fear following Mamad Har Sinai. But at the same time, you can imagine that after it's all over, they're feeling a little deflated to experience God, to experience revelation, even though they're scared of revelation. But you could also imagine they want to continue it in some respect. They want to experience God somehow physically, you know, continually. Again, they're scared of it. But you could also imagine, I would say, that they want this connection to continue on some level. And I think that the end of Parshas Yisro, the epilogue to the Decalogue, the Seres HaDibros, deals with Hashem's response to the mental state of the Bnei Yisrael. Here we'll turn to the Hamikdavar, a beautiful comment by the Netziv. The Netziv writes, Lo Sasuniti. So big question is, well, why is this not part of the Aseres HaDibur, the second commandment? So then it seems that this is not the idolatry of the second commandment. He says, "Eifshar lefaresh b'azharas avodah zarah." You can't explain this is avodah zarah. Sherei kavar nizhar b'pi Hashem l'kol Yisrael, because Hashem already warned them about avodah zarah. So that can't be this. If you want to know where the Torah says you can't worship other idols, so there you look at the second commandment. That's not this. This is something else. The question is, what is this? And he says also, v'tu, im kein, eno muvan diyuk iti Elohei kes v'hez ha'lo sulachem. What word is unusual here? Iti. Don't make with me. In other words, in the second commandment, it's, what is it? It's yelacha Elohim acherim alpanai. Don't have any other gods instead of me. Here, what is God saying? Don't make other gods with me. It's not a rejection. Apparently, the reason why we're creating these golden or silver statues, it's not a rejection of God. It's E.T. And this is what the Netziv writes. El kol zeh azhar b'mesh ein avodah zarah mamash. This is all a warning. This is not something that's real avodah zarah. And he says, v'nei derech ha-melech ha-mashkiach al b'nei amo. And it's the way of the king who watches over the children of his people. She's halecha kol ayideyem tzayim. That everything functions according to intermediaries. Haynu ha'ish ha-mavakesh inyan lo yuvol ha-melech atzmo. If I want something, I'm not going to go directly to the king. Ela ha-mishneh lo matziah davar. What do? I go to his assistant. Hu yamidam lifnei ha-melech, and he'll speak to the king. Gam kishe ha-melech nidrash lachkor al-ish la-dats rochav lo yidare imo. Also, when the king wants to see what's going on with a particular person, he's not going to investigate it directly. He'll go to the mayor, and he'll say, "The mayor, can you please investigate this particular person? The mayor of the particular town." So therefore, if we're living in a particular country, we not only have to flatter the king, we have to flatter the assistant also, who's close to the king. Because when he presents our position, or when he tells God, when he tells the king how we're behaving, he's going to do it the right way. The mayor who's ruling, you know, who's ruling over he gives two different explanations. He's talking about the second in command. So I'll tell, if I have a request, I'll go to the second in command to ask the king for a request. So I have to flatter the second in command that he's going to ask it appropriately. And also, I have to flatter the mayor, because when he's investigating me, hopefully he'll give a good, favorable report to the king. And even though the two of them cannot do anything on their own volition, but nevertheless, a lot depends on them. Vainu svurim. So what does it do with us? And it's meaning what? So now we thought, shekach das elyon yisparach shalol asos alim yachim apanav davka. If we only had the Aseres HaDibur, what would we think? You can't create or have another god. Specifically, what does it mean, another god? Lahamin sheyesh ba'ezer koach lasos davar b'das datzvot. What can't you? You can't believe that there is another deity who can operate independently to do things in this world. You can't build idols to worship other gods who have their, that you believe they have their own power. Avol mikom akol, but maybe I'll think that, you know what I need? Anu tzrichim lasos emtzayim beinenu vein avinu shemayim. Listen, we need intermediaries between us and between our Father in heaven. I knew Moshe Tachton, meaning a lower ruler, Sabuch Lanu, who's near to us. Sheyehe Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Roe V'Yodea Al Yado Stareinu V'Tzarcheinu. God's not going to deal with us directly. So what do we need? We need someone that we could deal with as a means, and we can pray to this intermediary, and he'll give word to God. Umoshel Elyon Samuch Ladas El Yisparach Levakesh Yadom Yakadosh Baruch Hu. And this ruler will be close to God, and he'll ask God on our behalf. So what God is telling us is that not only can we not build golden and silver statues representing foreign deities that have nothing to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Tziv tells us that we can't even create intermediaries between us and God, golden and silver statues. Or at least we can't create those things that are golden and silver statues. And by the way, there is a major debate as to what the sin of the golden calf was, but just pointing out that according to the Ramban, I just brought you here in Parash Kisisa, that actually was their sin according to the Ramban. Right? The Torah tells us in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph, the people said, Kuma Seilanu Elohim, make for us an Elohim, Asher Yelchu Lefaneh, they'll go before us, Kizem Moshe Isha, Elohim, Meretz Yitzayim, Lo Yodah Me'yelo. Because Moshe, this person who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. And the Ramban explains, Hayyan Kamoshe Amarti, what's the idea? Shelo Bikshu Egel Yoslehem, Le'el Mamie Subachaya. They didn't want that this golden calf would be a god who would kill and resurrect the dead. The Kiblu Avoda Selahu Saleh, they didn't want a separate deity when Moshe didn't come back. They wanted someone as an intermediary. They viewed Moshe as an intermediary between them and God. Moshe had departed, so they wanted someone else. And this is
Rabbi. Rabbi?
Yes. Yeah.
So if that's the case, as you're doing this, and in those that was their Achim Egel. Because they didn't theoretically do something that was incorrect, because they never had this seaboy before that.
No, this. What do you mean? They committed this sin in Parshas Kisisa, that was after this commandment in Yisro. It wasn't the Seres Adibros, but at the end of Parshas Yisro, they were told, "Well, don't have any intermediaries either. Not only can you not worship other gods, but you also cannot have other intermediaries." So they were warned about this.
But this was.
I don't think anyone says that this was that maybe the commandment to build the Mishkan was after the sin of the golden calf. But I don't know any commentary that says that this section at the end of Seres Adibros was after the sin of the golden calf. So especially, what's the introduction? The introduction is Hashem said to Moshe, "Tell Bnei Yisrael, you saw that I just spoke to you from heaven." So in other words, this is happening, this conversation is happening right after Mamet Har Sinai. So the message that God is trying to convey to Klal Yisrael is that the way to bridge the finite and the infinite world is not through Elohei Chesed Vehei Zahav. It's not through the most prized possessions in the world, or maybe the highest places in the world, but Hashem can connect to us anywhere. See, look at the Bravanel's comments. He says, "V'hinei tziva b'makom hazeh," and so after Hashem says, "Don't make these golden and silver statues," he commands al dinei hamizbeach ubinyano. He commands us about building the mizbeach. And by the way, we're not going to discuss it in this shir. There's a whole debate that which Mizbeach are we talking about here? Is this really the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the golden, the copper Mizbeach? Are we talking about maybe the backyard Mizbeach that a private individual could build? And it's probably related to this topic, but there's a lot of discussion here. But the Barbanel points out that Hashem commanded here about building the Mizbeach, Bishol Yalav Amalas Kodem, Shiitzav Mishkan Mechelav, and he commands us also about the Mizbeach, and don't go up on steps, the four commands in the Mishkan and the Kelim, Lefisha Ba Inyan HaMizbeach Agav Grara. And because the idea of the Mizbeach comes in an indirect way, Lo Dia Sheba Emtso So Tovu Alea Birchos Sheva Shbaso. You know how you bring Hashem down to earth? Through Mizbeach. Einam Tzrichim Talmasot Savachesav. You don't need these golden and silver statues. And more than that, Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam writes, Mizbeach Adama. You need Mizbeach of the Adama. Lo Berosh Shahar v'chadoma. You don't need to build anything, a Mizbeach, on a high mountain. Kimizbechos ha'ovdi b'avodah zarah harim haramim, like the altars where people worship avodah zarah on these high mountains. In other words, Hashem introduces this section by saying, yeah, I spoke to you from Shamayim, and you're going to think, and you miss me. You miss the experience. Even though you're scared to death, you miss the experience. But the way that you recreate, you can't fully recreate, the way that you continue the connection is not through trying to ascend to Shemayim physically, building on altars the top of a Mizbeach, to build a structure and place the Mizbeach on top of the structure. You know how you connect, to Shemayim? On the Adama, here on earth. You don't need the most prized possession in the world, golden or silver statues, or the highest places of the world. Hashem can connect to us anywhere. And the truth is, anything that's physical that we make for God is really forbidden. That's why, perhaps also, the halach is that if we make a mizbeach of stones, we can't do any pictures, we can't do any carve-outs. Again, it has to be raw materials. It has to be... Rashi has a different take. Rashi says the reason why you can't build... You can't make carvings on the stone is because the Mizbeach comes to lengthen the life of a person, and the barzel from the sword, that shortens a person's life. In other words, it's the sword that will generally, you know, cut the designs in the Mizbeach, and that's used for violence. So that's Rashi's explanation. But I think in a different way, we could also say that if you want to build a Mizbeach to connect to God from Shemayim, right, it has to be Adama. It has to be made of the inside must be of earth, of Adama, or it has to be Mechubar Lakarka, it has to be connected to the earth, not on a pillar. And if it's a stone, it has to be how it was when you cut the stone from the earth. You can't make pictures, designs, because it has to be raw materials. And perhaps also, that's why when Hashem introduces the idea of no steps with the Mizbeach, so there is an idea of you don't want someone's erva, nakedness, when you're walking up the steps. But also, what's going on here is that we are introducing the idea of ascending to the Mizbeach through the ramp. And so, what the idea of the Mizbeach is you ascend, you go up. But how do you go up to God? You go up with nothing expensive, just humility, just you, just sacrifice, and you can reach a Kadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. So you don't need fancy prized possessions. We need you offering a sacrifice, representing your desire to sacrifice to God, and feeling, you know, I'm like Adama, I'm a man from the dirt, I'm a lowly person, a sense of humility, the Maharal speaks about that. But perhaps even on a deeper level, the Rav Kook in Orot HaTshuva points out, maybe, that by surrendering ourselves to God, we make a powerful statement that Judaism is a science of consciousness. Rav Kook writes, "Kisheshochim es mahut haneshama atzmit," when we forget the essence of the soul. "Kishemisichim dea milistakel betoch yut hachayim apnimim shel atzmo." When we forget, or when we stop looking inside of ourselves, our inner lives, Hakol nasa morvava musupak. Everything becomes confused, and we're full of doubt. Vatshuvare hareshit. The first type of repentance first and foremost, is what? Shehi me'irata machshakim biyad, that illuminates that which is dark immediately. Hi sheyashuva adam el atzmo, that a person returns to himself. El shorish nishmato, he returns to the root of his soul. Umiyad yeshuv elokim. And from there, immediately he returns to God. El nishmat kol neshamot, the soul of all souls. Ve'ilach v'yitzad hala me'alah ma'alah b'kdushav tara. And then he can ascend higher and higher in holiness and purity. V'davar zeh noeg bein b'ish yechidi, bein ba'am shalem. This could apply whether for an individual Jew or an individual person, an entire nation. Bein mechol ha enoshiyot, or all of humanity. Bein b'tikun kol avaya kula, or the entire fixing all existence. Shekul kula ba'tabi b'mashi shokheches etzma. That we denigrate ourselves constantly when we forget ourselves. In other words, the message of God after God says, you know, I spoke to you from heaven. So you might think I'm far, far away now that I'm not going to have this revelation anymore. And maybe the message of God saying, no, all you need is mizbech adama, mizbach adama. Why? Because we can connect to God even down here on earth. Because if we acknowledge the godliness inside each and every one of us in a serious and committed manner, no matter how far we stray from Sinai or from Torah and mitzvos, and God's not in some far, far away place, transcendent, away from us. God is waiting for us to surrender to God, engage in an act of sacrifice, a simple adama act of sacrifice for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is obviously, I think, a very important message following the tremendous experience, lofty experience at Sinai, that it's the one-time thing, but it's not how we necessarily need to connect to God on a daily basis.